life might hand you budgets, schedules, family, and responsibility, but driving shouldn't be just another chore.
We're here to help you find a car you love. Something that fits your budget and your needs, but is fun to drive and makes you look back. I'm Todd.
I'm Paul, and this is the Everyday Driver Car Debate. Great having you back on the podcast, man. This is nice. I'm glad you're back.
Yeah, thanks. It's always a pleasure.
With Todd still on vacation, I'm actually going to the airport tomorrow morning to pick he and his family up from Dallas. That's where he's been all week. And we recorded in advance last weekend, so you guys are hearing this. But chances with me, I'm actually curious, as I think a lot of people are who are already Facebooking you and messaging you in advance about Mustang updates, of course. That is Project Pony Up on Instagram.
Yep.
And what else? Oh, Wintercross. You just took your car out to Wintercross.
I did. I took it for its first ever track day.
I thought you'd had it out there before for some reason.
I had done an autocross last summer.
That's
but
what
I
was
haven't,
thinking
I haven't
of.
Actually
actual
tracked it. This is actually on track.
At UMC, right? Out at the track.
Yep.
I mean, how was it? Tell us about it.
Well,
tell us, you know, from sign up to you mentioned you posted photos of a Corvette Z06 out there that was somebody pretty hot.
Yeah, I never got his name, but he was apparently some type of national champion driver in that car. So he had these massive slicks on it. I don't know what else was done to it. He was one of the fastest guys out there.
Was he? Was he a driver?
Yeah, he was a driver.
Nice.
He was beating the two 991.2 Turbo S's that were out there.
Really?
Yeah. He was fast.
Okay, so, I mean, we know the Z06 has got it in it, you know, the power and the handling and all that stuff, but still, you got to be a shoe to, you know...
Now, I should say it wasn't a true track day because they still set up cones on the track to try and keep it a little bit slower and safe.
So what is the premise of it as far as the way the event is run?
Yeah, so the way they set it up was anyone can come and run. You pay them. It was like $45, so it was pretty cheap. And it
that's
goes from
cheap for a track day.
It was from 8 to noon, so it was a shortened day.
Okay, so that's why.
They do it through the winter, so... Theoretically, what's supposed to happen is a bunch of snow gets dumped on the track, and then you go play on the track in the snow.
Right.
Which that's happened once this year at the track. And that was, it was a dry day. It was actually a fairly warm day.
Right, right.
And
it's been a weird winter.
Yeah. So you don't do full laps. You start at one end of the front straightaway, the far end, basically turn one, and then you go do a lap, and you pull into the pits. You get a time at the end. They don't record your time, so you kind of got to remember it yourself.
Yeah, right.
So they don't give awards or anything like that. But there's still
some
competitive
nature. $45 track day. You know?
Just... And then you get back in line and wait a half hour and do it again, basically.
Okay. Well, that's fine. So it's not constantly going.
No. So I did. I ended up leaving a little early because I had some car trouble. Because, you know, 50-year-old car on track. You know, imagine that.
A 50-year-old car.
But... It wasn't on track I was having trouble. It was in the paddock.
What was the problem?
So ever since I've been driving it with this engine, I've got some electric fans that don't always like kicking on when they're supposed to. So when I idle for too long, it overheats. It starts getting hot.
You need airflow.
You're
like mid-80s Ferraris.
Yeah, and it's not my radiator because on the freeway or at speed and canyons – I never have an issue, but at low speeds and stop and go traffic, just sitting there, it gets hot.
Right, your supercar.
And I think I just need to adjust my fan controller.
Okay.
To come on at a lower
just
temperature.
Something.
I think that's all I need to do.
Or just never get caught in traffic, right?
Or that's right. Also never fun anyways.
Right.
So that's one part of it. So what I was doing was I'd get in line and I'd shut the car off instead of idling it the whole time.
Of course.
But then it wouldn't always start back up.
Right. I was going to say, it didn't like that.
I haven't been able to figure out why, because it was inconsistent. Sometimes I'd pull up, I'd let it run for a bit, and then I'd get out of the car with it running, because you're sitting there talking with everyone else.
Right.
And it would just stall on its own.
Awesome.
And then not start back up. So I was having to jump the car while in line at the track.
You're kidding me.
Or I'd move over off to the side.
Excuse me, could I
wait 5 minutes and it would start on its own after sitting 5 minutes. So I really don't know what's going on. But
so you're still needing to sort these problems out, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Because this was just, what, 5 days ago or something like that?
Last Saturday.
Oh my gosh.
So I ended up, instead of being a problem for everybody else and frustrating myself, I just decided to leave early. And I got 4 or 5 laps in. But in those 4 or 5 laps, I dropped my lap time down by 8 seconds.
Good for you.
So I did pretty good.
How was the whole feeling of the setup? Because you've put so many parts on now, being a restomod that it is.
Yeah.
Are you feeling the parts and thinking, oh, I felt the difference. I know what the part is that's making me feel blank.
Well,
are you to that point yet?
Not having tracked the car before, I can't say that I've noticed huge differences.
Okay.
Some of the changes we made were done long before I was driving the car, so I never drove the car stock. I have no idea what it drove like originally. I just don't.
I don't know.
That's
great.
But alignment definitely helped. That has made a big difference in the way it drives, even on
you
the
think?
Street. The old, some of you will understand this, some of you won't, but the old way that this car, the original alignment specs were not meant for bias ply tires, or not meant for modern tires. They were meant for bias ply tires.
Right, right.
And the car sat higher, so the suspension geometry was different.
Yep.
And that meant a factory alignment was positive 1 degree of camber, so backwards of what
you'd
normally
think. You're kidding me.
Yeah. So now I've got negative 1.2 degrees on it, and it's made a world of difference.
I'm sure.
And the car's been lowered, so it's got some things done to it. It's still original style springs, so it's still coils and shocks, not struts or coilovers.
Right.
The rear is still leaf springs and a solid axle.
Unbelievable.
No limited slip.
Unbelievable.
No power anything except for under the hood is what I like saying. So there's no power brakes, no power steering, no power windows, none of that stuff. And but no, it was fun. The car felt mid-corner feels pretty balanced, but if you tap the brakes, it wants to go around. If you get on the gas, it wants to go around. So it's the car you've got to stay on top of. It really is.
Nice.
The current weak point is definitely the brakes. I've got the brakes on it are the rears are still stock drums, and the
you're kidding me. You still have drums on the back?
On the back, yeah. Right now, I've got discs in my garage that I need to put on.
And you were willing to track it. You are
a
brave man.
And on the front, though, I've got discs on the front, but those came off of a 1977 Ford Granada. If you don't know what that is, look it up.
Don't look it up.
It's a land yacht from the 70s.
Terrible looking.
But the reason why I have those is because, you know, 15 years ago when we did that swap, that was a cheap, easy way to get rid of front drum brakes. The car had drums on it before.
And now there's a ton of Ford products out there, aftermarket stuff, the discs, the upgrade kits.
The week of the track day, I had ordered the last piece I need for my new front brakes.
Okay.
But they got here Thursday. I was hoping that I was able to do the brake swap on Friday in time to get to the track on Saturday with the new brakes. But I decided that's not something I really want to rush.
And that's like using a new technique on your final art project.
Yeah.
You don't want to do that.
I also figured it would be a good benchmark to feel what the car was like with those brakes on track.
Sure.
I had done it in some canyons, and I've actually cooked them in canyons. The main problem with these brakes is they're only like, I think they're 10.6 inch diameter, single piston calipers.
Really?
And there's only two options for brake pads. And it's like your eco pads and your more durable pads.
This is my surprised face over here.
So, and I had this on the track.
And you took it on the track. Good for you. Well, that's pretty cool because I know a lot of people have been following you and the car. I think you're getting a lot more followers on your Instagram page too, right?
Yeah, it's kind of cool. I've got almost, I think I've got like 700 on
Do you
that
really?
Page just for the car.
Just for the car itself. I mean, it's cool because, you know, whenever I'm out with Chance, he pulls up in the Mustang and Todd and I
if
are
I
driving,
can.
You know, you name the new car, whatever it is, and everybody gravitates towards Chance's car.
We're going, it's funny.
Name a fun, cool, hot car. And we're going, look, press car over here. And everybody's like standing around your car going, I remember the day back when I had this car. And
it was when we were shooting the Mazda RF and the Fiat 124 you guys had.
Exactly.
And I was in the Mustang following you when we went to dinner that night.
Nobody had seen the RF.
And
we're in one.
Yeah, everyone flocked to my car in the parking lot at the restaurant. It was really funny.
Nobody cared. Anyway.
I should also mention, so the heater in that car has never worked. To my knowledge. Well, at least not since I've owned it.
In the winter time.
It was like, I don't know, probably 20 degrees when I left. So I wore thermals. I wore my ski pants over my jeans, a big heavy coat. And then I'm sitting there driving to the track and I'm thinking, you know, I'll just flip the switch and prove to myself once again that the heater doesn't work. This time I flipped the switch, let it sit there for a second, and it came on.
You're kidding me.
It just came. I got this big puff of dust and crap coming out of the
vents. I was going to say.
But I was warm the rest of the trip.
Ground
so that was
bugs
nice.
And.
That was a fun surprise.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so the moral of the story is that ski gear actually works as wintertime track clothing. So that is your winter cross track suit. Really, you can go skiing, go track your car.
Well, why not, right?
I don't know why companies haven't embraced this. I mean, the big North Face, Patagonia, come on. There's a market here, people.
Throw some Nomex underneath and you're good to go, right?
I don't see the problem. You're fireproof on the ski lift, which is important that people want to do this. Well, like I said, we've got Chance on with me, and I'm really excited to do a debate with you because, man, we've got a lot to talk about here, most notably about the television seasons. We have now just uploaded the Mustang and the Camaro to Vimeo. Check that out. One of the louder pieces that Todd and I have shot, and actually that Chance has shot because he was on sort of the receiving end of most of our drive-bys, I believe.
Yep.
And
did some of the driving, but not much of it.
Turned out to be pretty loud, so that has been posted.
I don't think Todd ever mentioned it on the podcast, but you actually got one of the wheels off the ground.
I did. Well, Todd pointed this out because when he's editing, he's scrolling through frame by frame. I mean, again, he's curating everything that you see and scrolling through. And he scrolled to a point where he knew I was driving. We could see me driving. And I think you were shooting.
Yeah,
right?
I think so. Yep, that shot.
And so I had gotten some air under the back tires of the Camaro at well into triple digits up the canyon road.
It happens so fast.
We could see daylight.
On the show, you can't tell when it's playing at normal speed, but... It's still
I was wondering
a fun
why
little,
I felt like I needed a rudder back there instead of a gas pedal. But that was fun. So check that out, guys. And we are still in the midst of our television season on Velocity right now. Thanks to our sponsors, we couldn't do it without you. And that is Covercraft, Griot's Garage, and Auto Tempest. Thanks to all three of those. And by the way, we've said it before, if you use the code EVERYDAY for both Covercraft and Griot's Garage, Griot's will give you 10% off your order.
Yep.
Covercraft will give you free shipping.
Which is great on both.
Excellent on both. Check those guys out. This is the reason for Paul Certified Pre-Owned Cars is really Griot's for everything that I've done. And if your car parks outside, like I think the Mustang does.
No, the BRZ parks outside.
Oh, you've relegated BRZ outside.
Yeah.
Okay, well, you still need a cover for it. And thanks to our sponsors for everything there. Guys, an amazing podcast tonight because we have got Andrew in Birmingham, Alabama, and his wife, Meg. And the headline here is tree.
This is a really sad story. It really is.
It is. We're going to get through it without crying because, as you said, it could be any car. But both of their cars got crushed by a tree in the neighbor's front yard.
Yeah. They sent pictures. It's pretty, it's sad.
Yeah. Well, actually, reading his email here, a tree on his property fell, so across the entire front yard. Andrew sent a panoramic photo of the tree, and, you know, the cars in the next driveway over were perfectly untouched, the stumps out of the ground, the tree fell over, and one branch got one car, and the car, you know, his car was parked right behind his wife's car. Another branch got his car.
Yeah.
In one crazy accident.
It looks like it's at least 100 feet long.
Oh, my gosh.
The trunk there.
And so, the British like to call their city, which is also named Birmingham, they say Birmingham.
Yeah.
but I'm probably mispronouncing it. So Birmingham, Alabama. So Andrew,
Birmingham, I believe. Is
Birmingham, all right. Meg, hello, Meg. We're going to get to your debate first, and then we'll take a break, and then we'll come back after the break with Andrew's debate. So it's actually a 2-for-1, but two cars got smashed, which means we have an insurance budget. And then, of course, thank you guys for all the social media questions. We will get to that at the end. And yep, people, like I said, have already been emailing you and Instagramming you about some Track Daily Crush stuff. And
yeah, those have been interesting, been too. Fun. Those have been some fun ones.
All right, so we'll get to that shortly. But yeah, we got to start out here, jumping into Andrew's debate here. Like I said, the tree fell, totaling both of our cars. And so we need to figure out a car for his wife. And unfortunately, the car that got it, his wife's car, was an Acura TSX.
Yeah.
This, you guys, we should post the photos. Andrew, you should post the photos. So his, it's pretty interesting, the damage that a tree can do. Good news is the tree broke your fall, but, or your car's broke the tree's fall, actually.
Yeah.
But, we'll decide here. So anyway, the pictures are a bit tragic, but we've got to decide on a new car for Meg. All right. So she has a 10-minute, about a 5-mile commute, and both of them, they travel 45 minutes to the family lake house down on the weekends down in Florida to see his family or go to the beach, about 4 to 6 hours away. So again, she has the short commute.
Yep.
And she likes driving, but she's not the enthusiast that Andrew is. And interestingly, with their TSX smash, they got more insurance money for this car. So she actually has a higher budget for her new car than Andrew does for his. And we'll get to his after the break, as I said. So this is going to be interesting. She has quite a history here from the 2009 Acura TSX in auto, but a Jeep Grand Cherokee, BMW 325i. And then she's driven all of her family's cars, a 1990 Miata, Lexus RX 330, a Mini Cooper, a brand new Mini Cooper S 5-door, and a 2017 Kia Niro. So I'm guessing that's in your family, Meg, as well.
Yep. Lots of good cars there. And the car, the Acura only had 56,000 miles on it as well. And
tragic. Just, I mean, it's in perfect shape.
I still
shape.
Can't get over it. It's really heartfelt.
Yeah.
Or heartbreaking.
Yeah. Well, yeah, she said she's up for a new experience, but her love for this car will inform us in the debate. So she liked how it rode and handled. It was a near luxury car, but again, she's not the spirited driver. She's not the raving hardcore enthusiast that Andrew is. All right, so think of her car in the 10-minute commute. They can both take it for road trips, lake trips, down to the beach, that kind of thing.
Andrew did say he wanted it to be at least somewhat fun for him when they do go on road trips.
True.
Because he'll be the one driving.
True.
But it does need to be an automatic. They'd like it to be a little nicer place to be, more of a premium kind of feel.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I like that. And it's got to be a sedan. So he's saying, an argument I will never win is no hatchbacks. All right. So we'll consider this. The drive wheels can be whatever. It can be all-wheel, front-wheel, rear-wheel. Yep. And again, we're coming into this, both Chance and I. We have not shared what we think she should buy for both these debates, as Todd and I do. So I'm really, really curious as to what you're going to decide here. But they have listed a lot of cars being considered for their insurance payout money of about $20,000 to $22,000.
Yep.
That's what we're working with here. And he says, Paul, if you exceed this by more than $2,000... you might as well have suggested a McLaren or a Lamborghini or whatever.
Yeah, so, that's just not going to happen.
Hard stop.
It's a hard Paul limiter. That's about as hard as it gets.
All right. That's still a healthy budget. We can really work with that.
Yes.
So she says, Meg says, we don't really need the premium badge, but I'm not driving something, well, you know, crappy, terrible. So, all right. Which might make certain cars a harder sell than others, but she's looking in this kind of feel, this kind of range.
Yep.
So before we jump in here, I want to hear your suggestions, but I will say, as Todd and I have said before, what's wrong with a replacement car? What is wrong with another 2010 TSX or something like that? If you already know and love the car and it's taken from you and you're not done loving it and driving it, there's no reason not to go get another one. So I will put that out there as a baseline viable choice, even though Meg says she's up for something new, which I do like. The grieving period is over, so I'm curious, what was your line of thinking? Where did you go after, read this list off of the different things you're thinking, and guys, kudos to all the creative choices you're already considering, but I've got a few things for you.
Yeah, I've actually got two that I'd like to throw out there, and well, let's go through their list real quick first. They said Mazda 6 or Mazda 3. Those are their front runners.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. The Mini Cooper S, 5-door, Acura TLX, Buick Regal. I don't know about that one.
Buick Regal.
Lexus IS250, that would be a great choice.
Yeah.
The Camry he jokes about. He says, haha, no way. And then just looking for any other ideas. I kind of went, so two of the ideas, the Mazda 6, they had recently driven, I think it was a family member, had gotten a 2017 stepmother just got a 2017 Grand Touring, mm-hmm. and his wife really liked, they both really liked it, but it was out of their budget. That said, I have found several of them that are a couple years old, same body style, Grand Touring trim for under 22, easy.
I mean, people know you as the Mustang guy, but I don't know if they know that you used to have a Mazda 3. So you are
no.
Also
we've had three Mazdas actually. Yeah.
Have you really?
Yeah, we had a Mazda 6, a 2006 Mazda 6 that you guys never saw actually. That was long before I joined.
Really?
Joined the show. Yeah, we had a 2006 Mazda 6 hatchback. So it was the big, not a wagon, but the rear end looked like a sedan. It was one of those
5-door or whatever.
Uh huh. We had a, what was it, a 2014 Mazda 3.
Right, I remember that.
Almost identical to the one Edgar has now, actually. Only it was an auto.
That's so funny. Rubbed off.
And now we have a Mazda CX-3.
Which is so funny. Yeah, we were talking about that before we started the podcast. I showed you the Expedition in the garage, which is freaking enormous.
Yes. It makes the Jeep look tiny next to it.
Yeah.
It really does. You should post a picture of that someday.
I should. It's got an inch of space before the garage door closes, right? Oh my gosh. Barely fits, but anyway, so I'm liking your Mazda choices here, guys. Meg, I definitely think that's something you should consider. Obviously, you have, you know, Mazda enthusiasts sitting here talking to you, recommending these cars. We love them, but I'm curious, what else did you choose for Meg besides Mazdas?
Well, the other choice I had, I found, they mentioned the Acura TLX, if they could find them cheap enough.
Well, yeah. I mean, 22 is your hard stop.
I found oodles of them for 18.
Really? What year?
I'm looking at a 2015 TLX V6 for 18.5. Right now, it's in Birmingham.
Birmingham.
And it's got 57,000 miles on it, so it's a little higher mileage. But
yeah, but her car had 56.
There's a whole,
when it died,
because
the tree.
A whole bunch of them on here for under 20, and I found a bunch of them.
Interesting.
You got your pick. And within driving range of where you are, too. You're not going to have it shipped in from, you know, across the country.
Yeah, true.
I tried to make that a point of keeping it within a day drive.
Okay, fair enough. And it sounds like their family has enough cars between them that they're probably limping along, but they're wanting to hear our recommendations before they go pull the trigger on something.
So I like the TLX better than the Mazda, even though I
can see that.
I think the Mazda would be great, but you already had the Acura. You were familiar with them. You loved it. It was the car that you loved, and it got away too soon.
And theoretically, you want the next car after this one to be even better in whatever category.
Right.
Luxury,
it's six
power,
years
handling.
Newer. It'll have more power. It'll have modern features. They both will. But the real reason why I liked it better was because it saves $4,000 that you can put towards your other car.
Oh, I see what you're
doing.
So
we'll get to that in a little bit.
Aren't you a little too clever? That's funny. So you're saying Andrew's car could be a bit more expensive?
A little bit, yeah.
Interesting. All right. I like that.
And without upsetting the wife and making her feel like
you're
not as good.
Walking the tightrope, aren't you?
I am. I'm pulling a U.
Yeah, I don't know who I am tonight, but interesting. All right. Okay, so getting to my choices over here, Meg, I agree with Chance, yes to the Mazdas, yes to your Mini Cooper idea, and I wanted to recommend the Volkswagen GTI, but you said no hatchbacks, so okay, but I want something turbocharged that you can get excited about. You walk out in the morning and you've got your commute, and you see what? And that car, well, it used to be Jettas. You know, all the cute single girls drove Jettas. Yeah. You remember that era?
Yeah.
The
such a girl car, yep.
Totally.
10 years ago.
Heck, even the married girls, you know, they drove Jettas. It was like
We had one.
You did?
Yeah, we had one.
Okay, I rest my case. But then sort of, you know, graduating on from that, it's a German car. It seems like maybe you overlooked it. Maybe you didn't think of it. But I think this could be a really nice step up. But for 22, you're going to have to work hard and pretty much buy the nicest, newest one of these that you can go find. It's an Audi A4.
Okay, yeah.
I like this car for you, Meg. Looking at the Acura TSX and thinking, maybe you're an A4 girl because it's got that turbocharged 2-liter engine. It's turbo-y and still has the feel of a GTI a little bit, only nicer, a bit more luxurious. I think it's going to ramp up past that luxury feel you felt in the Acura and kind of go, all right, we're stepping on up. Look what the insurance payout did. Thank you, Tree, for smashing my Acura. Even though I miss it, I'm actually...
It could very well be a blessing in disguise, you know?
It could. It could. It's all about how you reframe the perspective, right?
Yeah.
It's all about putting it into perspective. So I'm wondering about this Audi A4. And again, you're going to have to take some shopping. You're going to have to go do some test drives. But, you know, and we're not talking about, this is not the car that's going to be the track monster or the enthusiast Canyon Carver. But I will submit to you, they are fun to drive cars.
They are, yeah.
I really like the A4s. I like the newer body styles. I had an O4 for a long time, and then they just got better and better and better, and they actually lighten the front end up and, you know, move the engine around a little bit, and the chassis dynamics got better, and they've got a great engine transmission combination. Even the Quattros are fun to drive.
And it'd be great on a road trip.
It'd be
super comfortable on a road trip.
Thank you. And I'm thinking down to Florida, road tripping in this car, because they're, you know, they're just the two of them right now. They have some animals, but they're sort of the in-laws animals that they have got to take care of occasionally. But other than that, it's just, they're kind of free. Luggage in the trunk, let's go.
Yeah.
I guess the back seat is full of shopping bags or something.
Sure.
I don't know. I'm inventing something.
Duffel bags.
I'm looking at this Audi A4 for you, and I was thinking maybe something Hyundai, but I kept coming back to that Audi.
I did think Hyundai Sonata along those
did
lines
you?
Earlier, too. But at the same time, I was like, well, the Hyundais have gotten a lot nicer than they used to be. But
yeah, they have.
I don't know if it would be a as nice replacement for the Acura, being already a luxury brand.
Yeah, and they've improved, but when you're going Acura,
yeah,
you,
I don't
like
know
I said,
if that
you
would
want to go
right,
up
right
and
step,
feel
yeah.
like the next car is the better step up.
Right.
Rather than a lateral or even a downgrade kind of thing.
Right.
Not that, you know, Hyundais and Kias are downgrades. Kia Stinger.
No, they're great cars.
I mean, I look forward to the day the Kia Stinger GT2s are right in that $25,000 sweet spot.
Yeah.
That day is coming, my friends, but today is just not that
no,
day.
No, not yet. Few years.
We'll see. All right. So any more recommendations? Are you landing there?
Yep. That's where I was landing for her.
All right, Meg. Well, I am sorry to see those photos. It was tragic. But again, take a deep breath. We're moving on. I would be bummed. I would be really heartbroken if that were my Cayman.
Yeah.
I would. I know the feeling. I hear you. But this could be on to new fun driving experiences and a fresh new start for you guys. So I hope that's the case. Andrew, we are going to do your debate right after we come back from this quick break. We'll be right back.
Everybody's got a to-do list. You drop off the dry cleaning, you pick up some milk. I've got an idea. Let's save hundreds of dollars in car insurance.
And the good thing is you don't have to drop off or pick up anything. All you have to do is go to geico.com. And in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance.
Having extra money in your pocket might be the most rewarding thing on your to-do list today.
Let's talk about your bucket list for a minute. That's right, your bucket list. You know what should be on it? A trip to one of the greatest spectacles in all of motorsports, the Indy 500. This is not just any trip, but the ultimate Indy 500 fan experience. That's exactly what AMSOIL, maker of some of the best synthetic motor oils on the planet, is giving away this spring. One grand prize winner will win the trip of a lifetime to the Indy 500 to watch some of the fastest cars and best drivers battle to have their names etched alongside the greats, like Foyt, Andretti, Unser, and Castroneves. But that's not all. Listen to what else awaits the grand prize winner.
There's pit access, dinner with an Indy 500 legend, VIP track access. That's one of those badges that gets you in anywhere. Suite access to watch the race, $1,000 cash for incidental travel and event-related expenses. You get to charge it. It's going to be great. Round-trip airfare for two of you to the Indy race, hotel accommodations for two with five nights at a hotel near the Motor Speedway. Even ground transportation to and from the airport, the hotel, and the Speedway, plus chances to meet the drivers themselves. Just like they do when they make high-performance synthetic motor oils, AMSOIL went the extra mile with this sweepstakes. If that's not enough, there's also 10 first-place winners, and they'll all receive one free digital download code for Monster Energy Supercross, the official video game. To enter the AMSOIL Ultimate Indy 500 fan experience, text INDY, I-N-D-Y, to 41487. That's INDY to 41487, or visit AMSOIL.com/INDY.
GEICO presents eyewitness interviews with inanimate objects.
This is Brian Bruno, live on the scene of a recent windstorm, here to describe the event, the Chest of Drawers.
There's a storm howling outside, so I thought I'd stay in and watch a rom-com. 5 minutes into the flick, a tree branch slams through the window.
Were you hurt?
I just got a scratch on my chest.
Your Chest of Drawers can't help you in a windstorm, but the GEICO Insurance Agency can help you get covered for personal property damage. Call GEICO to see how affordable homeowners insurance can be.
We are back with the second part of the debate for Andrew, married to Meg, and you remember how we were talking about the smash trees, or the smash cars because of this giant tree.
Yeah.
And they're down in Birmingham, Alabama, and when I saw that, I just thought of the Roadkill Cafe. I think there's a Roadkill Cafe down in Alabama somewhere. I know there's one on Route 66 in Arizona.
Yeah.
There's one out there, and, you know, the fun menu items like, you know, creamed quail on toast and whippoorwill on a grill, and one of my favorites, you know, flapcats with syrup. That's one of my own favorites. Anyway, I just thought there's got to be one in Alabama, which I think there is. So Andrew is the second half of the smash tree story, and you'll be curious to know that he's got a couple of twists here.
Yeah.
Because we described to you just a little bit about who Andrew and Meg are. They've had both their cars smashed by a single tree that fell over. This had to be a 100-foot tree. The panoramic photo was obviously panoramic, but the tree took up the entire photo.
Entire yard, the driveway.
Right to left.
Looked like maybe the neighbor's yard.
Unbelievable. And I guess that happens. It was a rainstorm or the ground got soft or something. And smash both their cars. So winter is chilly, 50s down to the 20s, but usually not very snowy, as Andrew says here.
Right.
He and Meg have been married 5.5 years, no kids, but three cats, and frequently take care of their in-laws' 65-pound dog, a golden doodle. And what's so curious is Andrew started a new job at the Mercedes-Benz manufacturing facility in Alabama.
Yep.
He is he's in the legal department at the plant where they make the SUV and C-Class for Mercedes-Benz. He has got an 82-mile round-trip commute.
Ouch.
Wow. But he's at the brand-new Mercedes-Benz plant, so I don't blame you, Andrew.
No, not at all.
Well done. So in contrast to his wife, Meg, who has the 10-minute commute, Andrew's got the 82-mile daily round-trip commute over here. And what's so interesting is he wants a manual transmission.
Yep.
And yet he works for Mercedes-Benz.
Yep.
A company that does not offer any manual transmissions, at least in the U.S., but worldwide, very few. Now, they make enthusiast cars. We love the AMG series cars, the Mercedes, anything AMG.
Oh, they're great cars,
But he's brought to us this whole GLA 45 idea, and I'm wondering, because I thought, Andrew, I'm just wondering about your corporate discount, your A-plan pricing, or what they give you.
Yeah, I was thinking that too.
On a brand new Mercedes-Benz. But here you are wanting a manual transmission, and everything your company makes is out the window.
And on top of that, the budget. It's way out of the budget.
It's way out of the budget, although I am curious to hear what you thought, because you're shuffling money from Meg's insurance over to Andrew's insurance payout, which is far less because he had a Ford Focus. And it was in blue, so his payout, this was a 2009 Ford Focus SES coupe with manual. So the payout is, like I said, much less, about 14 grand.
Right.
And we're got a hard stop there, unless you take money away from Meg and add it to Andrew's car.
Yeah.
This is interesting.
I'm conniving.
Yes, you are. So I like doing this kind of thing. I like thinking like this. But I'm wondering, you know how back in the 70s, if you worked for Ford and you brought your Chevy to work, your car would be
like,
trashed and smashed at the end of the day.
Air let out of your tires.
And worse. Yep. I mean, that was the nicest thing they'd do to you. So I'm wondering, I don't think so, but when you have your next car, obviously you had your Ford there at the Mercedes plants, and probably they didn't care, but if you rolled up in a new BMW, would they start to care? Would people notice? Oh,
being
because I'm sure you've told people
plant?
At work about this story. Yeah. Hey, yeah, the tree smashed my car, blah, blah, blah. Me and Meg have to get two new cars. I'm sure you've told people.
Yeah.
And when you roll up in something new and hot, what are they going to say? And that goes for any car because, yeah, you can go come back to this car saying, all right, well, you know, this is the car I had in college or, you know, through graduate school, law school, whatever that is. And then, you know, here it is. We're married. It's just the commute car. But now you're looking at bumping up his budget.
Yeah.
And he's going to roll up in something what?
Well, I went...
I hope it's protected in the parking lot is my point.
Yeah, true. I went one of two ways. So I came up with a couple of ideas that stick within your budget in case you don't want to go the other route.
And then you pulled a me is what you
and
did.
And then I pulled out two others that I think would be a fun sidestep.
Yeah, yeah. I like that employee discount GLA AMG 45.
But with a $14,000 budget, that's just not going to happen.
No.
But the cars I did come up with, you mentioned the GTI and not one for Meg.
Mm-hmm.
You can find those for 10 to 14 all day long.
Yep.
Manual transmission.
There's tons of them.
That would be a great commute car, punch through traffic.
And he calls that out. He says, you know, I do like the GTI. He's wondering about the whole reliability thing.
Yeah, there is that concern.
It's not the reliability. It's the maintenance to continue that reliability.
Yeah, that
so
too.
It's your appetite for that. But for 14 grand, you can easily find one and take the 4 grand from Meg's insurance payout and set that aside, maybe?
That wasn't where I was going.
Oh. All right,
but,
keep going.
The other two options I had that are within your budget... Focus ST would be another great commute car.
Yeah.
He did mention liking hatchy and handily, and he wants a hatchback.
He mentioned Fiesta ST on his list.
Yes. I do feel like, though, that the Fiesta ST is going to be very no frills and not going to be very fun to commute in every day.
Yeah.
I could be wrong.
Great on
but
track.
That is my concern. He does mention road noise and things like that being a concern.
Right.
And they're just... They're not very nice inside. As great of cars they are, they're very plasticky.
Yeah, they're very suitable for one purpose. Let's put it that way. Okay, all right.
But
what
door
else?
Number three within your budget is the earlier Hyundai Genesis coupes. You can find several of those for around 12 grand, both the 2.0s and 3.8s. I actually found one in Auburn, Illinois. It's a 2011 3.8 track version. It's a manual transmission, 70,000 miles for 11 grand.
And plus, this is the car that's going to get the miles piled on
it
anyway.
And it would be fun. It would commute just fine. It's got power. And people won't look at you funny when you're rolling to work in a BMW. It's a Hyundai. So
okay. People will be okay with it. Because I'm thinking German cars. What if you rolled up in another German car? Is your manager going to go, oh, what'd you get, Andrew? So now that you've told us the whole story and you ended up with a what?
Yeah. So So my other two are, I feel like they're kind of a throwdown. But
I'm curious.
I want to hear what you have to say first.
Oh, okay. All right. So we're going to tease everybody and wait on that. Well, the list is long and very good. As Chance mentioned, the Mazda 3, the GTI, new Honda Civic Si, the Honda Civic Hatch Sport. The 500 Abarth is on the list.
Yep.
The 86 platform is on the list. And he says, I've got you as my ringer for Todd, who's not here. He says, Todd, you own one. That's why it's on this list. Well, Todd's not here. But you are. So I'm curious because Tell us about your little side trip to Phoenix as a road trip in this
car. Yeah, so
I
have a BRZ, and as much as I love the car for long trips, now granted, I'm 6'3", and I'm all leg.
Yeah.
And so for me, it's mostly an individual thing.
You're on the other, I'm in between.
Yeah. But driving down from Utah to Arizona was not fun. Being in the car for 12 hours was just not a fun experience. I got there and was sore for a couple days.
I mean, you were posting about, ouch,
yeah,
don't do
this. On the drive back, I actually sat on a pillow.
Did you really?
And that was also uncomfortable just because it made me sit like a foot higher up in the car. But
right.
My daily commute, though, I drive about 40 miles round trip. So it's not a long commute, but it's not a short one either.
40 miles round trip. So you're 20 each way. You're
thereabouts,
saying.
Yeah. Okay. And, it's doable. It's fine.
Yeah.
But I do feel like unless you've got some back roads you can go and enjoy the car on every now and again, I think it's going to be a car you're just not going to like because it's not the funnest commute car.
Every weekend.
It's just, it's a great option, but I don't know if that's the right choice.
And I led you into that because I knew you didn't have a lot of fun on that road trip.
Yeah.
And that's, I think Todd will back our play here.
When I bought the car in Idaho Falls, and it's only 4 hours away, and I drove that back. And by the time I got to Salt Lake, and I was done. So
that's what all of us have discovered with the 86 platform. And there's people who do. I'm not taking that away. If you have an 86 platform and you're driving it and you're commuting it, wonderful. But you have to agree, you've got to go let that thing on a canyon road somewhere or on a track.
Yeah, and look, I think those seats are great. They're some of the best the best supportive seats from the factory you can get at the price point.
Agreed.
And they are comfortable to a point. They're just not meant for driving across the country in.
All right. So, Andrew, you understand that that's not where my head's at, and therefore I will say, because of these reasons, no to this car. You do have the Honda CR-Z, and the last few podcasts I've been thinking about the CR-Z. I found one before.
You really have, yeah.
I'm liking this car, and I do think this should be on your list. It is. He also poses a twist to us here and talks about the 2016 Kia Forte 5 SX Special Edition. He said, like, this is, well, kind of weirdly specific. His dad has a line on a brand new one, never sold from a dealer friend, available to Andrew for $12,500. Maybe. I think it's going to be in the category of the, I like it for about 10 minutes and then hate it the rest of the time.
Yeah, I agree. That would be, it's not what you really want. It'll suit the purpose, but at the end of the day, you're just going to be, can't wait to get rid of this thing.
Andrew, I have two thoughts coming into this, and I'm thinking of, one, a car that will get, of course, great gas mileage for your commute purposes. But you talk about new technology, and Todd and I have talked about this before, redoing the tech in your car, as in a center stack, a center instrument panel that will take an aftermarket nav system so you can upgrade the stereo, the amplifier power, put a nav, Bluetooth, connect your phone.
We've done that in our Boxster.
I just did that in the Expedition. I think it's one of the best upgrades you can do.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm thinking of cars that have a center stack that you can more easily replace. Like a Camry, it's kind of out, even though I know they make specific...
Yeah.
You know, molded in, and
I think most have
Camry
specific
shape.
Things you can put
not
in there.
Not everything. Interestingly, there's nothing for Caymans out there. It is a hard car to put an aftermarket system in. You can do it, but there's not a lot of aftermarket stuff for it.
It should be like our Boxster. I mean, it's the same
kind
stack.
Well, the newer one is very difficult. Anyway, I digress. So I was thinking of that, and then also you mentioned seats. The two companies that we have found make the best seats are Volvo and BMW. But again, we're working with a $14,000 insurance payout.
Yeah.
Unless, of course, you pull a Chance
and
shuffle money. So this is going to be strange. I talked to you about the CR-Z, which I like. You've got to look at these. You can get a 2014 for $14,000. Done.
Yeah.
Excellent car.
It'll be a great choice. Great gas mileage.
Audi A4 for Meg for the road trip car. You're commuting in a CR-Z. We're done. I kind of think. But here's my wild card for you. And even though I talked about the 86 platform as a big no, I'm going to talk about the NC third generation Mazda MX-5 Miata. Hardtop.
Yep.
Because get this, keep in mind for all their sporting nature, we love Miatas for how fun and the aspiration of how fun and handily this car is. They're actually miniature GT cars by virtue of how softly sprung they are.
Oh, they really are. And that's who most the buyers are.
Yes. And that's why I'm thinking in a manual transmission of all four generations, it feels like the largest car. It's certainly the heaviest.
It is, yeah.
And what about a hardtop NC Miata third generation that you've got, like I said, the hardtop for sound insulation qualities. It yep. is a convertible, so it's still, you know, you and Meg can put the top down and go cruising around. But it's going to be softly sprung enough that it'll be fine as a commute car, and you can just pile on the miles. I'm just wondering about this
yeah.
car.
I did almost chase that rabbit hole earlier, actually.
I'm pushing on it.
I thought kind of the same lines.
I'm pushing on it right now because of that spring rate setup on those cars, and because it does feel like a real car. It's not an NA Miata where I would say no, personally.
Yeah.
And is Miata the answer? Not always, but I think it could be in this situation. And I am throwing down and saying, NC Miata, manual transmission with a hardtop, could you find one for 14 grand? That's my question. I bet you can.
You probably can.
Haven't looked yet, Andrew, but that is my throwdown for you. I'm curious to know, and so is everybody, what are you doing with the extra 4 grand now?
Yeah, so with the extra 4 grand, that bumps you up to about 18.
Yeah.
So for 18 grand, you can get, you can get Porsche Caymans. You can get
yes,
base.
You
can get base Porsche Caymans. Uh-huh. I'm just saying. But
lovely road trip car, but it's the same category of the 86. It
yes.
demands a fun, twisty
yes.
road
so that,
on
that
Saturday
one's,
mornings.
That one's actually, usually that's a sniper shot, but that one's actually going to be more of a wild card of the two.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
Now, you working for Mercedes, the drawback...
Which still blows me away. I need a manual transmission fun car, and the company I work for doesn't make one.
Yeah, that is the drawback with the other car I found. They don't make them in a manual transmission. They just don't. But...
Okay.
I am looking at, in Buford, Georgia, so not all that far away.
Really?
A 2006 Mercedes SLK 55 AMG with...
Oh, my gosh.
With 85,000 miles on it for 16 grand.
You're kidding me. Problem is, it's an automatic.
It's the only AMG I found for that kind of price, but there's a ton of other SLKs in the same range. It would be a GT car if you got the 350 even.
Oh yeah.
Or the 2.
But that
the
blows your price range, doesn't it?
No, those are
in the
range? Lesser cars, yeah.
Oh,
so you'll
oh,
find
the
those for less
yeah,
money.
Yeah, you're right. They're
or
lower.
You can find them with lower miles for similar money. And that could be a weekend getaway car like the Miata can. It's also a hardtop convertible.
So what you're doing is having Andrew suck up to his manager by buying a Mercedes. You're actually
yeah,
saying,
that's one way to look at it.
Hey, look what I did! I used the insurance payout, and I'm in the club. I'm driving our product, right?
Yeah, you could do that. Yeah, that was kind of my line of thinking. Like I said, that's more of a you could do this. This is what you could do.
Andrew, a promotion is clearly in the works for you, my friend. Which means now that you've bought the Mercedes, you'll get a promotion. Which means you'll be making more money, and you can afford to trade that car in and get the AMG GLA 45.
Maybe, yeah.
I'm jumping way too far ahead. We have many questions to do. Andrew and Meg, thank you for writing in. Andrew, really appreciate it. We're really sorry to see this enormous tree smash your cars, but think of it as an opportunity for fresh new fun coming your way. I hope these choices really help you guys out. Man, do we have a lot of questions here. I'm curious as, which track daily crush did you choose? Because people, like I said, are already calling you out. You got to start somewhere.
Yeah, there were two I wanted to address. One of them was sent to me to my photography page, like, I think a week ago almost.
Anticipating you being on the podcast already.
So Hal B. asks, would you track Daily Crush the original Eleanor Mustang from the 1973 version, not the newer one that most people know, the original Bullet Mustang that was recently found that we talked about last time I was on the show, or the 1966 Shelby GT350H Rent-A-Racer?
How hard is this for you
now? It's not as hard as you'd think, actually.
Okay, all right. Because I'm thinking you're in agony over here, but...
So I would daily the GT350H because those were only available in automatics.
Okay, all right.
I would track the Bullet Mustang because look what it did on screen. I mean, why not? It's already been beefed up a little bit.
Right.
And, well... the original Eleanor was crushed already, so I don't have to feel bad about that. And I didn't like that one anyways. It was ugly. That's my least favorite generation of Mustang.
Interesting. So,
but the other one is kind of along the same veins. It was from Nikolai asks, would I track daily crush a 69 Boss 302, a new GT350R, or my Mustang?
Oh.
So he threw the curveball in there.
Yow. Okay.
So this is the one that's really hard. When I showed it to my wife, she's like, just crush yours. You know, you
really? Like,
wow.
You're kidding me.
Just because the other two are so much nicer.
Okay.
But
your connection to your car.
Yeah. I'm building mine for the track, so that would be the one I'd track.
Involved.
And I think I would daily the GT350R just because it would be a nicer place to be than the Boss 302.
Really? Yeah.
But
true.
That's just. Thanks. Thanks for that.
Horrifying thought. All right. So there's a question from Nick A on Facebook here. And Nick, I admit to skimming your question, and I read it wrong, and then I had to reread it a couple of times to really figure out what I was reading. He says, I'm currently eating a crusty fresh baguette in Luxembourg.
I wondered if you'd go with this one.
What car have you owned that I could eat this in without a blood vessel exploding in your brain? When I first skimmed past that, I thought he said, I'm currently eating a crusty fresh baguette in a Lamborghini. And I went, what? You're doing what? How Oh, wait. Luxembourg. Okay. So crumbs are going everywhere is what you're saying.
Yeah.
I have to say that the bread in Europe is just better. It's like the water and the flour make better croissant. You cannot get a good croissant in the U.S. Anyway,
I'll have to take your word for it.
Yeah. The bread there is great. You're rubbing it in my face. All right. That's fine. So, what car have I owned? Honestly, I've tried to take care of all my cars, but I guess the first one, which was a 77 Jeep Cherokee that I kind of shared with my sister in high school.
Right.
So she beat on already. It for a while, and then I'd beat on it for a while. And, you know, that was the one that got the rust sealed in because my dad drove it around in a Minnesota winter and then promptly did the underbody sealing thing as you would do back in the day.
Yep.
And he sealed in the salt. And then it just rusted from the inside out. So it was that car that, you know, we kind of beat on, drove everywhere, had that quadratrack. You can see the gas needle move while you're on the freeway.
Sounds like my Mustang.
Otherwise, I've kept my two Hondas clean. I've kept the Audi, the Porsches, three Porsches. Yeah. I mean, even the Jeep, I kind of eyeball you crustily if you're drinking more than water in my car.
I've been on the receiving end of that
a few times. People know when to jump in my car, they say, is it okay if I eat this in here? And I'll kind of instantly judge right there, what is the food and who are you? And
you see smoke coming out of the ears.
All right, I guess you can. Great question, though. That's really funny. I'm eating a crusty baguette in a Lamborghini. No.
Yeah.
All right. What else?
So Alex Maiden asked, if I had a spare $15,000 to buy a 60s or 70s muscle car project, what would I buy? Well,
lots of things.
This is another one. My wife was like, yeah, if you do that, well, you're not going to have a wife anymore.
Okay. What did you say then?
What I think, okay, if I was actually buying another project car, I think I'd want something like a 1970 Dodge Challenger.
Okay.
I've always liked those, but what I'd actually do is I'd put that $15,000 into my own Mustang and finish it, or get it closer to where I want it to be.
Okay. All right. KSTCCF on Instagram said, Paul, any future manual sports car? I am still thinking about that M2, honestly. It's kind of a splinter in my brain. I love my Cayman, and I'm hoping maybe one day I can have both living in the garage simultaneously. Making friends.
Prices are starting to drop on them. Have you noticed?
Yeah,
they're coming down.
They've got to drop to where it's still MSRP, which was 53, something like that.
Aren't they below that? I swore I'd seen some below.
If they're below that, then that makes it start to be pretty compelling. But I'm still thinking, I loved that M2. I love the look of it. I love that it's a real car. I love that it's trunk, manual, the whole thing, commute in it.
It's like a perfect everyday car.
You're right. M2 is for everybody.
I know you didn't necessarily agree with it, but when we shot that car, I felt like it was a grown-up BRZ or FRS.
We talked about this,
it's
too.
It's got similar dynamics. It's more powered and just a nicer place to be. Is that the car you graduate to from it if you can afford it?
I would like to think so.
I mean, why not?
So the M2 is still in my head, so maybe they can all live happily in the garage one day. But you'll know it when they do. Yeah. All right. What other questions you got?
Dave Casement asked over on Instagram, you guys talk about modding out of class all the time.
This is a good one. I'm
but
glad you
chose
this.
But what about optioning out of class? Let's say you've got a $35,000 budget. Do you go for the car that starts at 25 and put 10,000 options onto it?
Mm-hmm.
Or get the car, the base car that's maybe a nicer car to begin with? I think the EcoBoost Mustang you guys drove a while back is a perfect example of this.
Okay.
That car was $40,000, if you remember.
It was. It was because of the wheels. It had 20s.
It had all these options on
it. It was also pre-production.
And
caveat.
But the GT Performance Pack you can get for $5,000 less.
Okay.
In cases like that, it's kind of a toss-up. What's more important to you? Is it having the power, having the better performance standpoint, or is it having the nicer things, having the leather interior or the nicer infotainment center and more of the day-to-day stuff?
Yeah, I could see that. All right, looking for other questions here. Christoph M is on Instagram asking why people are hating on the Stinger so much. I don't know that people are, to be honest. We have our press car booked for season 3 on Velocity. That is coming, and it will be paired up against another car, which we already have booked too. So that will be episode three. So that is getting filmed. I'm looking forward to the Stinger. It's a fully loaded GT2 press car, all-wheel drive.
Nice.
I don't know. I'm giving it a fair shot here.
I think most people, it's got the badge perception thing. And
I think so
it's going to have
that
problem.
The only thing that
I think people see Kia and think, it's a Kia for $50,000.
Although I hope what that car is isn't what the Phaeton was to Volkswagen.
Yeah.
When people thought, why would I buy a $90,000 Volkswagen? Why would I do that?
Yeah.
$90,000 will get me the name a badge over here for $90,000.
Yeah.
Or a used BMW, whatever, M5, M6, something like that. So, yeah, I hope it doesn't become that. But
I do think, personally, I love the way they look. I think they look fantastic, and I'm looking forward to experiencing one.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the looks seem to be kind of polarizing. Some people think it's just an ugly car.
What?
I've heard several people say they just don't like it, the looks.
You're kidding me.
But, well, you know, to each their own, eh?
I suppose so. Well, there's a question from Morrison on Instagram as well, asking about what feasible modern remake would we like to see? It gives a Panamera-based 928. Yes, absolutely.
Yep.
I would like the next 928. I would like them to resurrect
that.
That
would be nice.
Honestly, I mean,
make it a GT car, proper GT car.
It could have the twin-turbo V6 in it, lighten the front end up. I would love to see that.
Yeah.
It also says, you know, Ferrari Dino with the Alfa V6. I don't know that the Dino needs to be resurrected. I never thought that car was as cool as the collectors say it is.
Yeah.
It's okay, but maybe. But any other sort of this car needs to come back?
I've thought for years that, I mean, it wasn't really that great of a car when it was out, but it's got such a huge pop culture following because of Back to the Future.
Yeah.
But I think a modern day DeLorean would be a fun one. If you make it build it a proper car, build it right.
So you're saying like the Singer 911 and do that to a DeLorean?
At
that level?
No, I don't even think I'd do that. But I think like an all new model, it'd be a DeLorean. It would be like if the car had continued on for the last 30 years,
what would it
look like?
Oh, yeah.
I think that
would it still be made out of stainless steel.
Yeah, stainless aluminum.
Right.
I'd like to see De Tomaso come back. The Pantera that's one of my all-time favorite cars.
Yeah. No, that's a great point. I'm trying to think of others, but in the meantime, we've got another Track Daily Crush from JDR on Facebook here. Saw it at a car show last weekend, and I picked this one because of you and your work with Kirkham.
Yeah.
Yep. It's the McLaren 675 long tail.
Yep.
The not real Cobra with a 427 or a Porsche Cayman GT4. I'm going to crush the Cobra.
So am I.
Are you really?
Because
it's not real.
It looks like, yeah, and because...
Would you do it if it were a Kirkham, though?
Would
that change things?
It might.
How about the copper Kirkham? The one you've
the
told
copper,
me about.
The copper Kirkham, that's not really
Look
my
this
thing.
Car up. It's full-on polished copper.
Yeah, so I guess to explain this one. So when I worked for Kirkham, they hadn't built this one when I worked there, but they had built a couple of copper-bodied Kirkham Cobras.
Insane.
So think of a rolling penny. It's polished.
Yeah, the pennies are mostly dingy and nasty, and you don't want to pick one up.
Yeah, but it was that color. It looked really cool. It's just not my thing. We also made some bronze-bodied cars. Those ones I thought looked great, but the real kicker to those is that's such a heavy alloy compared to aluminum.
You've negated everything
that
Carroll Shelby
tried to
do.
500 pounds to the car.
So, yeah, let's do that not tell Carroll.
So, yeah, I would crush the Cobra, mostly because I think looking at the picture, it's a fiberglass body car, and those just... Not to take anything away from those, because those can be great cars too, but Cayman GT4 on track, yes please.
Yeah, I'd daily the McLaren.
And daily the McLaren, yeah.
Heck yeah.
I kind of wondered if we'd agree on that one.
Even
but
if the Cobra were real.
If it were a real Cobra, I'd track the Cobra.
You would.
And crush the GT4.
What? Oh my gosh. I'd crush the McLaren. I'd still crush the real Cobra. They're like $1 million cars now.
Oh yeah, I was actually
still
watching.
Take the GT4 on track.
I was watching an auction, one of the RM Sotheby's auctions the other day. It was down in Scottsdale. One of the original 427, one of 37 competition cars they ever made. It was well over $2 million.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah,
they're that high now.
They're the SC cars are the competition ones.
Oh my gosh!
Even the normal ones are $1 million.
All right, Rich J on Facebook said, from a design perspective, which is the more beautiful Porsche, the 911 or the Cayman? Same opinion for all generations of the Cayman. Well, Rich, what about all generations of the 911? And I submit to you that the proportions of the 911 have changed.
Yes.
The same familiar shape, but those proportions, the side glass in relation to the body side, and... all the fender flares, all those proportions have changed, even though, like I said, it's the same general look and shape to it.
Yeah.
So what about that? I mean, I still love the mid-80s Porsche 911 3.2 Carrera.
Yeah.
Really love that car.
I like the 67-ish, 1970-ish 911s, the early ones. I think there was. I think those are the long wheelbases by that point.
Yeah, just went to the long wheelbase.
If you've ever seen the Steve McQueen movie Le Mans, there's that scene at the beginning where it shows him driving around town in an early 911.
Wasn't that his car?
It was his car.
Yeah.
It sold a couple of years ago for over $1 million also.
Well, that was just because it was Steve's.
But, yeah, but that car is one of my all-time favorite 911s. I don't know if I'd want to own one that old, but the way they look just does it for me.
I mean, I love the 993s. I love the new Caymans. The problem is I love the fender flares on the Caymans, too.
Yeah.
And you're Cayman boy. You dream about Caymans all the time, too.
Yeah.
You do.
I look at them every day.
Every day. Hence the name of the show. I love it. That's the name. We look at cars every day. I have to see cars every day. I just love looking at cars.
Yeah.
All right, so there's a question that we have to end the podcast on here. From Drew V, and I think this is excellent. What do you guys think Chrysler is going to do after it runs out of cars to stuff a Hellcat V8 into? I think you probably mean Dodge, but we'll go with whatever. You understand.
Well,
Chrysler
FCA.
Has plenty of models. FCA. But Dodge. And, how about after it does the same thing with the Demon version? What's next for Dodge?
What they need to do, and they'll never do this... But
unless somebody's listening. Sergio, are you listening?
They're not going to do this. But they should bring back the Dodge Magnum and put the Hellcat motor in it. Just for the sole purpose of having a Magnum Hellcat.
Oh, my
And then you'd have a potential genuine threat for the Mercedes E63 wagon.
Yeah, yeah.
On a budget.
Wagon-y goodness.
And, you know, the CTS-V wagon no longer exists, so it can replace that, too.
You know, I've been wondering about this, too, Drew, and I've talked about the Camaro and the Mustang for the next hot generations, the GT500 coming up.
Yep.
For the next version after whatever comes out, I'm talking about electric assist motors that will continue to bump up the power. But Dodge over here has made a name for itself now with the Hellcat.
More power!
Not needing to.
Yeah.
Because of the supercharger, by virtue of the internals and everything that they've done, they don't really need to. That's been the point of the cars, is we don't need to go electric. I've been wondering about this, and honestly, I'd love to be in on the planning meetings, because the brand that they've cultivated now is that. They cannot go backwards without risking everything and alienating a customer base that they have created. Yeah. Because now they're in a different category than the Camaros and Mustangs.
They're the only true muscle car left.
Pretty much. So therefore, I say they've got to soldier on for a few more years, kind of doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Maybe it gets a little bit of tweak. Maybe the Demon is now the low-power engine from Dodge, inexplicably. But I think they've got to create a new model.
They haven't put it in the Ram yet.
It's not an exercise of how many cars can think of to drop a Hellcat.
Put it in the Ram and make it a Raptor competitor. Done.
Okay.
Buy that.
All right. If they came out with the Ram Power Wagon with a Hellcat, the Power Hellcat or something.
Power Cat?
Yeah. I could see that. But honestly, I think they need a new model. Either, and I'm not saying resurrect one from the past either. That does not mean look to the past and bring a nameplate that we've, you know, had in the past and was kind of successful. Let's try to re-energize that. I think that retro era is behind us.
And every time they bring back a new model, they bring back the name, and that name doesn't really fit what the car used to be.
Like right.
The Charger, for example,
but
is
I'm saying
four-door
a brand
car.
New model. The Charger and the Challenger, they've been around forever. And they're trading on those names, and we've defined them what it is, but what about the new direction that will set them in a new direction? A new model that sets them off in a new direction, whether it has a Hellcat or new technology, whatever. They've been the antithesis of technology, even though they are, by virtue of the upgraded pistons, internals, the crank, all that stuff.
Yeah.
But I say it's got to be a brand new, fresh, whatever that is. But they've got to really listen to their customer base to do that.
Yeah. They could do something like, do you remember the old Dodge Copperhead concept and the Demon concepts, those little convertibles they made years ago?
Yeah.
They don't have a convertible in their lineup at all.
No. And they don't have a turbine engine car either.
Well, no.
Just saying. They used to. Chrysler did. Back in the 60s, 50s, something like that. The Chrysler Turbine.
Turbinator.
Yeah. All right. Well, guys, we've got to leave the podcast there. This has been really enjoyable to have you back, man. We've got another one with you coming back. So we have not heard the last of Chance either. And we'll bring him back in another podcast or two. Guys, really appreciate all that you've done for us. It's because of you guys ranking and rating the podcast that continues to move it up in the rankings and in the global worldwide listenership. You guys wouldn't believe the analytics. I was even showing you tonight. Yeah. They're exploding, and we really, really appreciate it. If you've got your own debate, write to us at everydaydrivertv@gmail.com, or you can find us right on the website. Just go to everydaydriver.com. You can contact us there. And that's if you want to say, hey, give a message a chance. Well, of course, you can find him on Facebook and Instagram. But say hi, you know, tell us what's going on in your life, and send us your own debate, you know. A tree doesn't have to fall and crush both you and your wife's cars to be able to have a debate worthy of us doing it. I'm just saying it makes it. There's the interest factor. It's always the human interest. Guys, again, we really appreciate it. Looking forward to next time. Cheers.
Geico presents eyewitness interviews with inanimate objects.
This is Brian Bruno, live on the scene of a recent windstorm, here to describe the event, a chest of drawers.
There's a storm howling outside, so I thought I'd stay in and watch a rom-com. 5 minutes into the flick, a tree branch slams through the window.
Were you hurt?
I just got a scratch on my chest.
Your chest of drawers can't help you in a windstorm, but the Geico Insurance Agency can help you get covered for personal property damage. Call Geico to see how affordable homeowners insurance can be.
ADT can design and install a smart home just for you, backed by 24/7 protection. A new smart home at your service, customized for your lifestyle. Set up custom automations unique to your home to automatically do the things like lock the doors or set the thermostat when you leave. Even close your garage door from virtually anywhere. ADT will set up your home with multiple smart home devices and security features like indoor and outdoor cameras, locks, lights, and garage door control, even video doorbells. Visit ADT.com/podcasts to learn more about how ADT can design and install a secure smart home just for you.